We're not so far from the time Rudolph Bing said you couldn't produce new operas because the public wouldn't buy tickets. Now there are lots of new repertoire. We're getting co-productions. So what's changed?
I think what's changed is that the buying habits of the public have changed. I think that we have to look at the question of oversupply when it comes to the standard repertory, number one. I think we have to look at the buying habits of younger people, the subscription model that many, many performing arts institutions, not just opera companies, but symphony orchestras, ballet companies, theater organizations, that subscription model has changed. People are no longer willing to commit to every other Thursday for a period of 4 or 5 months. They're looking more towards event marketing, and I think new work fits into that. I think new work is also something which is being written with contemporary subject matter that engages a newer and younger audience. It also is being written in a way that engages a broader cultural section of the audience. In other words, a lot of new work now is coming out is not based on a Western European model, which is, of course, what you and I grew up with opera, that it was Italian, German, French, etc. Now we're looking at operas that are being written about other parts of the world and in other languages and engage other people in the United States and elsewhere.
When you go to see a new work, it's something that you don't really know much about. It's a premiere or whatever. You might be in a train, a caboose car or someplace non-traditional. Mm-hmm. What do you need? What is going to make that a good experience for you?
It's a big word, but what I'm looking for is the integrity. I'm not necessarily looking for a tune I can hum or a high concept story or even a high concept production. I'm looking for something which takes advantage of what opera can do and bring words and music and an audience together in a way that no other art form can. And I think that that works surprisingly well with a number of contemporary subjects that you would not thought would be suitable for opera 10 or 15 years ago. I just saw Jack Perla's new opera at Opera Theatre St. Louis, Shalimar the Clown. And essentially that's about the political, racial, and religious situation as it exists in modern-day India and Pakistan. And I think that the way that was presented in sort of a Romeo and Juliet story, it's based on the Salman Rushdie novel, was very gripping, and I think took advantage of a flavor of Eastern music. There was dance. There was a formal structure in that, you know, you had hero, heroine, villain, villainess, all that sort of stuff. But I thought that the way it came together was very moving, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Switching to Opera News Magazine, of which you are editor-in-chief, the magazine has been in existence since the 1930s and was originally pegged toward the Saturday afternoon broadcasts of the Met. And since I work in radio, I'm here to tell you they are still enormously relevant. But the magazine is now becoming more global. It is becoming, the reach is wider, and things probably I don't think you would have had in this magazine 10 years ago are now on the cover. Like the people making new opera, people making, and they're young people. They're hungry young people. Tell me about your view of the future of this magazine.
I think that what we want to do is continue to identify what is best in opera. I think that what we want to do is bring information and a set of tools for making good choices to our readers. In other words, what's the best recording? What is the most noteworthy production? Who are the directors and designers and singers and conductors of interest in this field? And we look at things like the recording section, or the report section that brings that to the fore. And I think more and more of that comes forward into the features. I think that when the magazine started in 1936, we were looking at an opera landscape in the United States that had stable points at the Met in San Francisco and in Cincinnati. And pretty much the entire game as it exists now was not there when Opera News started in 1936. So I hope that what we've done is try to evolve along with the art form. And if you look at this particular issue, the August issue, one of the people who's featured on the cover and has an article inside is Beth Morrison. And I think she is an absolutely genius producer. And she's now being used not only for her own group, Beth Morrison Projects, but she's also sourcing and co-producing and collaborating with companies like Los Angeles Opera and Fort Worth and Opera Philadelphia in creating projects there. And that's a very different way of discovering and nurturing new work and by implication and extension, new audiences than was done years ago. I mean, you look at something like, and this comes to mind because I just edited the review from Santa Fe, they did a revival of Vanessa by Samuel Barber and Giancarlo Minotti. Certainly when that was produced at the Met in 1958, new work came into being at the Met in a very different way than new work comes into being now. Barber and Minotti were not workshopping Vanessa, and they were not looking at having a focus group or doing it small or doing it in a way that was, let's say, willing to change it as it went along, like a tryout or something like a Broadway
and
show.
And cost-effective. That wasn't possible, right.
Exactly. So now I think that because the economics are different, the audience is different, and the structure of the opera houses is different, I think that this is the way of the future, and we would not be doing our job if we didn't report on that. The place that the Met had, in broad terms, in 1883, in the cultural landscape of Manhattan was very different than it was, say, in 1983, when the company celebrated its centennial. And I think that what any general manager of any opera company in any city in the United States has to recognize is that there's so much more competition for attention. There's so much competition for the entertainment dollar. There's so much competition for news coverage that I think you have to be very, very thoughtful and very proactive about how you engage an audience. It's not the done thing anymore to close your doors and expect that people will find you. You have to get out and find them. And I think something like HD broadcasts or Plaza casts or outdoor casts, I mean, those are done a lot of places other than New York. I was in San Francisco. I've told this story several times, but not to you before. I was in San Francisco for a Trovatore several years ago, and I can't remember when it was, but they had done a live broadcast into the ballpark in San Francisco. And I met Stephanie Blythe, who was Azucena in the performance, and we were walking to dinner in Hayes Valley, which is right behind the Opera House. And this man came up and, you know, was walking towards her and pointing at her, and we thought that we were about to be mugged. And this guy looked at her and said, "I saw you tonight in the ballpark." And I thought that was great,
yeah,
that this is someone who saw her and recognized her, and he was not inside the Opera House, and he was not someone who came to the Opera House. He came to some place that obviously he was comfortable in, which is the ballpark in San Francisco, and that was great. And I think that the more and more of that is what's going to keep the conversation going and, I think, keep people engaged.
And I think in a nutshell, as we conclude our time together, what's happening is that operas and people making operas are going to the public and not vice versa. That they're being
because I think, you know, if you're talking about an opera company that was founded in, you know, the 1880s or the 20th century, people knew what opera was. They knew the language, they knew the musical form, they knew the singers, they knew the tradition, and that's just simply not the case anymore. I think that you have to do, if you're going to be a general manager of a company, or a composer, or a singer, or a conductor, you have to do your work to get out to the audience and bring them back into the house with you.